spend my Christmas with a Dalek and hug him underneath the mistletoe. And if he's very nice, I'll feed him sugar spice and hang a Christmas stocking from his big left toe. Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. Welcome to Reversing Polarity, where this episode we're doing a Christmas special.
Holidays are coming, holidays are coming.
We're going to learn all about the meaning of Christmas.
Which is, Doctor Who has always been gay, actually.
And we can prove it mathematically somehow.
Because we are mathematicians.
But this isn't a math special, it's a Christmas special. My name is Rosie, my pronouns are they, them.
My name is Aim, my pronouns are also they, them.
And this episode is a very special episode because we're not discussing a particular story. What are we doing this time, Aim?
We are pitching a Christmas special for Classic Who. We've both come up with a couple of ideas. We're going to pick one we want to run with and then just workshop the story for a while.
I'm really excited. Every other time on the podcast that we've ended up workshopping a story, I've been like, man, I wish we had like an extra 45 minutes to do this. So
I wish we had a budget and a production crew.
I wish the Big Finish would take our calls, damn it.
Russell T. Davis, if you're listening.
I had a great time. Would you like to hear? I messaged Aim earlier because we were obviously, you know, arranging the recording, and I said, I've been thinking about this in a very rosy typical situation, and I would love to tell Aim about this rosy typical situation.
Go on.
Which is that today, of course, I was teaching. I was in a class that I've taught before, although only once or twice. As a supply teacher, you sort of end up rotating the same schools over and over. And this afternoon, I realised at about break time that I wasn't going to be able to do any planning at lunch because it was Christmas lunch today, so I had to serve the Christmas lunch and then eat the Christmas lunch and then deal with everything in the classroom. But oh, after lunch, we had football training with some football coaches who came in from outside, so I didn't have to do anything.
Was Ted Lasso there?
No, I wish Ted Lasso was there. And Roy Kent wasn't there either. It was just some guys from Bristol Robbins. But while they were doing their whole thing, teaching the children how to play football, I was genuinely stood on the sidelines, staring into space, thinking about Doctor Who. and I came up
you
with some
so
great ideas.
You were so fully yourself.
I came up with some great ideas. At one point, one of the kids came over and stood by me for a bit because he was tired, and I was like, hi, how you doing? And he was like, yeah, no, I'm good. He was having a good day. I was having a great time thinking about Doctor Who. So I've got some ideas thought up on the football pitch at about two o'clock this afternoon.
Amazing. I had a sort of a similar but different experience.
Yeah, I can imagine it will be somewhat different.
Yeah, as you may know, we are in the middle of the plague, and Oxford has put on some extra PCR testing for people who are asymptomatic just in case. So I thought, you know what? I'm in town. I'm going to go get a PCR test. I did not anticipate the over an hour standing in the cold, but that left me with a lot of time just to watch the sunset over the Radcliffe camera and think about Christmas and Doctor Who. So I was actually having a great time.
Yeah, and we were messaging each other because I was waiting for a bus at the same time.
Yeah,
like,
we were both freezing our asses off.
Fucking bus. And you're in the queue like, fucking queue. So, you know. It was very, we were really creating a great creative atmosphere with one another.
Collaboration is magic. That's the true meaning of Christmas.
This is our first episode in ages where we don't have any planning, like, besides our individual planning. So it's going to be a lovely Christmas surprise for one another. Like, I have a Christmas present for Aim that I need to post to them.
Oh, likewise. I can see yours from where I'm sitting.
Excellent.
Yours get it to the post office.
Yeah, same. Post offices are hard.
I'll do that.
But yes, this is our Christmas present to one another, is to surprise one another with our wonderful ideas. So I figure we can take turns to pitch. We've got two ideas each, and we've hopefully managed to differentiate our settings and themes enough, and then we're going to pick our favourite one and run with it. Maybe we'll integrate themes of various ones into the final central idea. The premise is that it is a Classic Who serial that could have been created and broadcast during that era and not seemed that out of place.
I'll start with my weaker idea.
Yeah. Except that it can gay. It can definitely be gay, just so everyone knows.
Lovely. So my first idea is a Fourth Doctor story.
Okay.
I'm thinking for
already
Romana,
a weak one for me.
I know. I decided to start with my lesser one. I have got Romana for you. This is my offering. She's
Romana
great.
1 or Romana 2?
I'm picturing Romana 2, but it could just as easily work with Romana 1.
All right.
Christmas Carol pastiche.
Ooh, okay.
Gallifrey bullshit. Ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future. But they're sort of like Time Lord ghosts. Or something has got into the Matrix again, because we love it when stuff gets into the Matrix. This would also be after the Deadly Assassin, so technically the Doctor's still president of Gallifrey. So could sort of be like a leaning into how shit of a president he was.
Gallifrey sends some ghosts to try and force him to be a better president of Gallifrey.
Yes.
And he goes off at the end and he's like, nah, it hasn't convinced me. Sorry, lads.
Yeah, exactly. I think the joke would be the more it parallel Christmas Carol, the more resistant the Doctor was to leaning into the Scrooge redemption narrative. I was just like, fuck off. Fuck this. This is terrible. And Romana finds it hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I can also imagine that with like an It's a Wonderful Lifestyle thing, but he realises, yeah, no, Gallifrey's better off without me. Bye! That's actually why the Doctor left Gallifrey in the first place. They had like an It's a Wonderful Life experience. Well, like, I guess I can fuck off then. Bye, everybody!
But yeah, so that's my less developed idea. It's four in A Christmas Carol, not the maybe the Muppets version.
Ooh, I mean, four is kind of a Muppet.
Exactly.
I did watch Muppet Christmas Carol this week.
I watched the one with the fluffy hair.
I watched Muppet Christmas Carol this week. And it is so fucking good. It's so fucking good. Oh my god.
So I don't go home for Christmas. I stay here with my housemates, and we do it every Christmas. So very nice for that.
Yes. Okay. So if that's your less developed idea, I have a less developed idea, which is literally one sentence. Land of Stories Santa Murder Mystery.
Oh my god, that's a good sentence.
I'm imagining this, but it could be really with any Doctor companion pairing. I've got two Jamie and Victoria. It's not two Jamie and Victoria. It is Six and Perry. Five Tegan and Nyssa. I wasn't really 100% on this one.
I love Nyssa.
Yeah, they end up back in the Land of Stories through, you know, crazy random happenstance from the Mind Robber. And they discover that someone has been murdering every version of St. Nicholas going backwards in time from like they start with like the Coca-Cola Santa and he's been found dead. Mm-hmm. And they go further back and you're getting further and further back in these interpretations of Santa. And I didn't figure That's out amazing. Why someone would be doing this. I just thought it would be great to be solving a murder mystery. And maybe one of them gets framed for the murder and they have to like prove their innocence in a court of other Santas.
Nice. I like that. There's a lot of potential there as well for just A, bullshittery, B, someone confusing the Doctor for Santa.
Yeah.
Always fun.
All of the Xmas trappings, baby, is what I've written in all capitals on my post-it note. This was written on two post-it notes. While the children were making some posters about Advent, I was writing these post-it notes.
Beautiful. I like, and also the Land of Stories, there's so much you can do with that as a concept. Mm. And really one of whose least tapped
it really is.
Wells of glory, frankly.
It really is. I want to know more. And obviously they go back to it in the audios, but I feel like Classic Who, I sort of picked Six and Perry for this because I knew that they would want to bring back the Celestial Toy Maker. So clearly they were willing to revisit earlier concepts. And I'm kind of like, rather than the Celestial Toy Maker, why not the Land of Stories?
And the Land of Stories is such a great fit for Christmas anyway because of like that strong tie of storytelling, story sharing.
Yeah, exactly. And it would be it would also be really just fun to be in the Land of Stories with Six, who is the storiest of them all, you know.
Is he?
He's very storybook. I mean, look at him.
He's very larger than life.
Yeah.
Very Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor dream coat.
It really is a dream coat. We need it. We dream of it every night.
Yeah, that's true.
I wake up
Wait,
in a cold.
The same dreams again.
I wake up in a. Yeah, no, we really should look into that. The Land of Dreams is coming for us.
I like it. Shall I go for my next one?
Absolutely.
Again, I've got five words. Six in a Hallmark movie.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
the idea here is Six is not part of the romantic pairing. There is a like big city businesswoman goes to small Cotswold town, probably meets grocer boy who changes her life and end, but there's also some massive alien threat and the Doctor and we never got any six and Mel stories, even though canonically they would have happened. So I'm gonna say let's go for a Six and Mel one because we can do whatever
you know
fuck
what
we want.
I'm not necessarily choosing this as I want to elaborate. I think it would be really funny if the big city girl was an alien who had come to Earth and
yes,
like the city
like
was
that.
The city was an alien planet. Anyway, that is really good. And
yeah,
I love
the
Six
idea.
And Mel one. I've got on the CD I've got the One Doctor, which is like a panto with Six and Mel.
Yes. Amazing.
So I love that conceptually.
Yeah, the dynamic would be great. I love the idea of the Doctor unintentionally just cock-blocking this couple the entire way through.
Yeah.
Very grumpy and resist, again, Doctor resistance form, being resistant to any of the genre trappings. There would be a baking scene and there would be tie-ins to the Netflix cinematic Christmas universe.
Absolutely. So I love this concept, but it doesn't really fit into our pitch that it has to have been something that could have been made and produced.
I think it could have.
Yeah, but not in like...
I don't think it needs to be...
did this... It's like the Garth Marenghi problem. Did this thing exist to parody at the time?
Oh. In a way, surely must have. It doesn't feel that new.
I don't know.
Like,
I feel like
crap Christmas romances have always existed.
Yeah, but it wasn't like
movies.
There wasn't like the Hallmark Christmas movie format where there was one every year or two or five every year where they went, these are all exactly the same movie, but this time it's a different white person with brown hair. Speaking of, have you watched A Castle for Christmas yet?
I have watched A Castle
for
Christmas.
Yes! Oh my god. Can we do...
Do we need a tangent?
Yeah, let's talk about A Castle for Christmas for a second. Number one, Six and Perrier you. Number two...
Oh, sexy. I like it.
I do like Six Perry. Guilty pleasure. I like that pairing. I think it's good.
I really enjoyed Kerry. Yours, I can never say accent. Enjoyed it. Love the kilt. Made no sense.
Do you mean Kerry Elwes?
Why is he a Duke in Scotland? Always cool. Thank you.
No problem. It doesn't make any sense. His Scottish accent is just passable enough that it's very distracting.
I know, I love it.
He's so, like, the romance isn't, like, that hot or anything, but they're very sweet and they like each other.
They're
and it's like,
cute.
Oh, this is nice. And Desiree Birch is in it. And there's a woman in it who's clearly a lesbian, but they refuse
to
admit
God.
It.
So I watched it with one of my closest friends, and we are always both attracted to the same lesbian character. And so I was like, wow, hot. And they just gave me a look like it's happening again.
Mm-mm. Of course it's happening again. Look at her.
Right. Ugh. Hot.
Yeah, everyone watch A Castle for Christmas. It's great. It's like the stupidest movie I've ever loved. I gave it five stars on Letterboxd out of pure joy.
There's this, you know, that bit, the tie into the other Netflix cinematic universe where the housekeeper
Night Before Christmas,
yeah. So we didn't clock that. We thought that was gonna be
me too.
Her...
I thought they were gonna be evil.
We thought it was gonna be her ex-husband and the new wife.
Yeah, I thought
because that's that bit at the beginning where they book the castle for a wedding. We're like, wait, is it the wedding of her ex-husband?
Yeah, no. Me and Alex, we watched it at Alex's house when we met in real life. It finally happened.
Oh my god.
We watched it because we knew Kerry Elwes was in it, and we both love Kerry Elwes. Alex because he is in Saw, and me because he's in The Princess Bride.
That's the most Alex thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's incredible. But yeah, the what I love is that the two of you have spoken like once on Twitter, and yet you clearly know each other quite well.
At least three times.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
But yeah. So we love.
It's usually when we make the same joke. In fairness.
But yeah, watch A Castle for Christmas. It has a silent gay background character.
Who made me cry.
Yeah, me too. He gave me emotions. I really thought they were going to give him a boyfriend by the end. I was really hopeful. I mean, maybe A Castle for Christmas 2 will bring him in.
I thought, do you think that all of his jumpers were made by his ex, like his dead husband?
Oh, of course.
Ugh.
Because he was in Knitting Club.
If we want to talk, if we're in the Christmas movie tangent, Single All the Way on Netflix.
Haven't
watched
it yet.
Do, but don't recommend. I enjoyed it. It's bad.
I've seen very, very mixed reviews of that movie from my friends. Like, some people love it, some people hate it. And I'm like, I don't know if I have the energy to watch another one this year. Maybe next year.
The second half... Oh, I watched them basically daily at Christmas time. The second half is really strong. It has possibly one of the most compelling relationship dynamics. I just wish they'd really committed to the fake dating more than they did.
Yeah, fake dating is good.
Don't sell it as a fake dating movie, then remove the fake dating 10 minutes in. Okay, Doctor Who. Doctor Who and fake dating, what have we got?
Okay. Just generally suggesting Doctor Who and fake dating?
Why not?
I mean, Six and Perry.
Yeah.
Because they would realise that they were in love while they were doing it. Because, like, I love Six and Perry. I adore them very, very much.
What about 13 and Yaz?
Oh my god, of course 13
Imagine
and Yaz.
Them as a fake date. They only have one bed in the TARDIS, as we know.
Yeah, of course. I saw a thing earlier today in a Discord that I'm in where someone had linked like a quote from one of the 13 novels, and it's Yaz and 13 dancing, and one of them dips the other one, and you're like, oh my god, oh my god. They need, like, Flux has its problems. I'm I understand that. They needed to kiss at the end and it would have fixed everything from it for me. I wouldn't have cared about Tektuyn. I wouldn't have cared about the completely ludicrous plot holes. I wouldn't have cared about them ruining the unit dating controversy by making it no fun. Like, I would have forgiven anything for a kiss or just an I love you, and I would have gone, yes, thank you, I am fulfilled.
Just a gentle hand stroke.
A gentle hand stroke. They did hug, to be fair, and the hug was very, very good.
The hug was so good.
That was powerful.
Ugh. But it made me feel like I was being held.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, tweet us with your suggestions for fake dating Doctor Who people. It's probably come up in some of the expanded universe out there somewhere. Just feels like something that would happen. Like, I don't know, Joe lies and pretends that Rikki Deer is her, like, sugar daddy or something. I don't know. Something stupid like that.
The Brigadier and three fake dating.
I mean, obviously. That's an easy one,
but it's a good one.
The one time the Doctor manages to convince the Brigadier to go in the TARDIS and they accidentally end up on a gay space cruise.
And they can't leave. And the Brig has to go through several months of, like, unrepression therapy to deal.
He is too repressed for this. Oh,
precious baby.
Yeah. I have my second concept.
Let's go.
This is the one that I put more thought into because it is a two Jamie and Victoria story. And it is a pseudo-historical. I love a pseudo-historical. In which they go back to, like, let's say, like, the 6th or 7th century. And there's someone there who's claiming to be a historical figure that the Doctor happens to know does not exist in this time period. And he's like, this doesn't seem right.
Okay.
So it's like this person, and it's like, it's set around Christmas, and Jamie and Victoria keep having these arguments about Christmas traditions, because obviously Jamie is from before, like, the Germanification of English Christmases, and Victoria is from after they brought, like, the Christmas tree over, and they were doing, like, you know, Santa and all that stuff. Jamie cares about Hogmanay, and they're back in time, yes. And, like, someone turns up, and they're pretending to be, like, St. Nicholas, or Simon Magus, or, like, you know, whoever. They're pretending to be someone they can't be, and it turns out it's the meddling monk.
Oh, I like that a lot.
And because the meddling monk likes being a nuisance at Christmas because he wants to be famous, and he figures that the best way to be famous is to get himself in with, like, Catholic history or, like, Apocrypha, and he'll be known forever. And he's like, I want the notoriety. So he's trying to do something significant and miraculous enough that someone will write a golden legend about him.
As somebody else.
Yeah, to be like, you know, this monk, Saint Oberlard, you know, like, he moved a mountain or something. Like, that kind of thing, you know? I love the meddling monk. I just love the meddling monk.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, and they did bring him back once, so it's possible they could have brought him back again. And he's, like, regenerated, so he's, you know.
So it's, we don't know, yeah.
Yeah. So you don't recognise him immediately. And then eventually he goes off to the side and there's this big chalkboard that says, like, convince Council of Nicaea I am real Saint. Tick.
Good. Okay, I love that. I think there's a lot there.
Yeah. Now we gotta think.
I gotta decide which one we want to workshop.
Which one do we want to workshop? Because what we're gonna do, listeners, is we're gonna try and turn it into a 4-episode concept with, like, the 3 cliffhangers.
Cliffhangers.
The beginning, the end, a whole bunch of people running around different places.
Mm-hmm. I really like your murder mystery one.
Yeah! I feel like it depends on whether we can stretch it for the 4. It could end, or we could do, what was your first one again? Because I remember, the Forum Romana Christmas Carol.
That could be really fun.
That could be really, really fun. The problem is, guys, is that we are so good at writing Doctor Who, is that all of these ideas are all really good.
Golden. What about we mash up? We pick a concept and we pick a different Doctor pairing or something?
Maybe. Or we can always just incorporate elements of all of them.
Multi-Doctor story.
Like, no, if they get stuck in the land of stories, they could get stuck in a whole bunch of different Christmassy stories per episode. Like a Keys of Marinus thing. They have to journey through the land of Christmas stories.
And each one there's another murdered Santa. Mm-mm. Even if there's not a Santa in that story.
Yeah. They stumble across the murdered Santa.
More corpses.
Okay, I kind of enjoy this. It turns out the monk is doing it. Oh my god, the monk wants to be Santa. The monk wants to be Santa.
That's genius. I think we have it. I think we have the concept.
I'm opening a Google document. It's called Santa's apostrophe death, all caps.
Well, I think we We can't call the episode Santa's
No,
Day.
I know. We're not going to call it that. So Land of Story, Santa Murder Mystery. So yes. Which Doctor sort of group do we want this to be? If it's going to be like a four-episode thing, four-episode story, Mariner style, episodic, with link of Santa's being murdered. It's the monk.
Perfect.
This is going to be so good. This is going to be the best non-produced fan audio of all time.
I'm feeling that Five Nissa Teigen could be really fun for this.
I think so, yeah, actually. Like, because you get the... Nissa has no fucking idea what Christmas is.
Exactly, very funny.
Five
She's
knows almost too much about Christmas. Teigen is an atheist who's like, yeah, I just like the presents. I have never really thought about kind of the theology behind it.
But I didn't think that Santa was real. God, I can't do the accent. Can't do the accent, but you can do the accent more than I can do the accent.
I didn't think Santa was real. I was under the impression that was a thing from Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And then Nissa's like, the what?
And Nissa interprets it all as being very real.
Like, anytime they mention anything, she's like, oh, was that some kind of ritual sacrifice in your culture?
Which did actually happen in Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Perfect.
But yeah, so... we've got Five, Nissa, and Teigen. So they get
and
stuff-
we can have cameos from other characters and we can because have cameos it's Christmas.
Yeah, and also because it's the Land of Stories, so they can, you know... I haven't watched The Mind Robber. I just have a very, very clear understanding of how fucking good it's going to be when I finally watch it. I'm so excited.
So much fun.
So episode one.
Mm-hmm. I think we should start in the TARDIS.
Yes.
It's and they're celebrating Christmas.
TARDIS. It's Christmas!
Oh, when the snowman
brings the snow! When the snowman brings the snow!
There's a hip
snow! I'm gonna light my merry way!
Da 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 da!
So interior TARDIS.
I'm feeling for you editing that.
It's Christmas. Teigen has decided, because she's come back from Heathrow recently. She's come back from Earth recently. She's like, it's Christmas. I brought you presents. And Nissa is like, what's this? Because we're introducing the concept of Christmas as an introduction to the story.
Perfect. But what presents are they? I think she's got a 1,000 facts about cricket you must know before you die book for the Doctor.
Yes, you must know before you die, and also like an Australian cricket shirt.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
or like a little model of the Ashes, just like something. I'm sure
and
you
what,
can
what
get
she've
those.
Got in Nissa.
Kisses. she introduces her to the concept of mistletoe.
Maybe this can be like the Christmas romance happening throughout as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. For Nissa, maybe she found it really hard to buy something for Nissa and she's embarrassed. So she gives
her
she gives her like one thing in this, but it turns out she actually got her something more special that she gives her at the end of episode four.
This episode, she gives her socks. But they have little koalas on, and she also has to explain koalas.
Yes, and then she tries to fool Nissa with drop bears, but Nissa takes her too seriously, so it's not fun. Okay, this is already perfect. I hope everyone understands this.
I think our first cameo should be Teigen's walking through the corridor towards the consortium, past like a slumped over chameleon wearing a Christmas hat.
Yes, oh my god, hang on. When did chameleon first appear? Shit.
I think it was four.
No, it was five. It's the King's Demons with Turlo, isn't it?
Yes, of course it was,
is that Turlo, King's Demon? Hang on. Yeah, Turlo and Teigen, so we can't have chameleon unless it's like a time-travelling chameleon.
Maybe time-travelling chameleon.
Time-travelling
chameleon.
I think
that could be part of the joke.
Yes. I mean, yeah, we're pretending that this could have been broadcast at the time. Time-travelling comedian slumped in the corridor where... and then she puts a Santa hat on him.
That sounds perfect. And she's also wearing a Santa hat.
Yes. And so Nissa's like, so what is Christmas? And Teigen's like, well... and then they get, like, dragged violently sideways into the Land of Stories.
Yes!
Through the power of narrative convenience and also ... the mention
Monk?
Of Christmas at the same time as some kind of like seismic shift in the nature of Christmas owing to the death of Santa in the Land of Stories.
Ooh.
They need someone
they open...
to save Christmas.
Yes. And as soon as they open the TARDIS door and they get there, there is just a Santa corpse.
Yeah, oh my god, that would be very
good. We don't wait, we don't explore, there's no... Where are we? There's just a dead Santa.
Sorry, I've changed the title of the document.
The Massacre of St. Nicholas Eve. You're a genius, you're inspired, you're perfect.
They arrive in the land of stories and find a dead Santa on the floor outside the TARDIS. Maybe Nis is like, and who's Santa? They open the door and Tegan's
door,
like...
It's just a corpse.
Tegan's like, oh, that was Santa.
Do we want them all to be very specific pop culture Santas?
I think that'll be very
And if
funny.
Yes, do they have to be very specific pop culture Santas circa the early 80s?
I think they have to be circa the early 80s. Okay. Just for like the verisimilitude of the planning that we're doing, where we are going to go back in time, we are going to force John Nathan Turner to make them.
We must use our powers for good.
So like episode one, which story are they going to be stuck traveling through to like try and, you know, like they get trapped in these roles? Is story one the Christmas Carol?
I think story three could be the Christmas Carol because it gets quite dark and you could do some really fun narrative stakes stuff.
Yeah. So story three, Christmas Carol. Story. Oh my god, we can just for us, we can name the episodes later.
Yes.
Story one.
Yes.
What are some, like, is story one just the nativity story?
With dead Santas throughout it. Sorry, love, there's no room at the inn. It's full of corpses.
Or like...
Having a crisis this year. Every time
it.
I look, there's another one
Santas.
Falling off the rafters.
I'm Santicus. No, I'm Santicus.
What? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is a Christmas story.
Oh, no, the poem. So the first episode, it all has to be in rhyme.
What? 'Twas the night before Christmas.
'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the TARDIS.
TARDIS. Not a creature was stirring. Not even...
Something else. Like, it's genuinely that they speak and they're like, fuck, we've got to rhyme. And if they can't rhyme, they just can't talk. And they're like... So it's the night before Christmas. What is the name of that poem? It's not
Twas the night before Christmas.
It's not Twas the night before Christmas, is it?
Was it not? A Visit from St. Nicholas.
Yes, A Visit from St. Nicholas.
That could be the name of the episode.
That could be the name of the episode. Episode one, A Visit. A Visit.
Maybe A Visit to St. Nicholas instead. Technically going.
What's a funny synonym for visit? Like, a departure by St. Nicholas. Because he's died. So it's the night before Christmas.
A fatal trip.
Yeah, so they arrive in the TARDIS, it's snowing, and they look out and Santa has fallen off of the roof. And they're like, oh no, what a terrible accidental death for Santa. But it obviously later on we discover that he has been murdered by the monk, who is trying to take over the role of Santa.
So I guess they go through the form of the poem.
Yeah, so they go through the events of the poem and it's very whimsical and fun. Oh my god, just for us, what if it's animated? What if it's 2D animated?
What if each story isn't, like, it starts live action and each story goes through a different animation style?
Oh my god, what if one of them stops,
sort of like,
stop motion animation?
Yes, like the season one Community, season two Community Christmas, yes.
Yeah, or like Fool of the World and the Flying Ship, which I've been constantly thinking about today. I've been wanting... Have you seen Fool of the World and the Flying Ship?
I've seen bits from
it. It's so fucking good, Aim. You've got to watch it. They go through the events of the poem and it's very whimsical and fun. They are cartoons and acknowledge this. And acknowledge this weird happenstance. It's like in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where they turn into penguins / sofas / they're made of wool and they're like, this doesn't seem right.
So good. Prump.
Yeah, I've just remembered, this is not related to this story, but I was going to have the pseudo-historical written by Donald Cotton of the Gunfighters fame, because I think he would do good.
Of course, yeah. He would do good at whatever he touched.
Yes, he is perfect, and I really admire him. So yeah, they are cartoons and acknowledge us we have instead. So like, episode one is kind of like a whimsical thing, where they're like, oh no, Santa! And we've got to like, you know, like it's sad that Santa's there, or like, you know, maybe... Well, maybe instead of finding the dead Santa, they found like the empty sleigh, and they're like, where's Santa? So they have to go and look for Santa.
And that fits with the form of the poem as well, because like the stockings were hung with the chimney with care in hope that St. Nicholas would be there.
Yeah. An empty sleigh outside the TARDIS. They go through the events of the poem and it's very whimsical and fun. They are cartoons and acknowledge this weird happenstance. However, as they reach the part of the poem when St. Nick should appear, they discover his corpse.
A corpse.
End of episode.
Perfect.
We can easily spend 10 minutes. Like, Doctor Who can easily spend 10 minutes just attempting to explain Christmas to Nyssa.
And then we have 10 minutes of setup, and then that's it. Santa Corpse, close episode. Mm,
perfect. Episode 2.
Episode 2.
And then we can have a fun title. Episode 2.
They all need to be contemporary, don't they? So we can't do the fucking Polar Express.
No, alas. Okay, Christmas movies from that era.
Not a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas.
We could do Miracle on 34th Street. We could do... It doesn't have to be stories with Santa. We've already established it would be kind of hilarious if there were just Santas inexplicably dead. But like, you know...
I've never seen this. I'm looking... I've got a Wikipedia article of everyone who's ever played Santa just for fun.
Yeah, of course.
There's a from 1977, a movie called Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey.
What about Santa's from Mars? Is that the fucking thing? Santa's from Mars? What am I making up?
What?
Attack of the Killer Santas? Something like that?
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians?
Yes!
From 1964?
Yes! That's what I'm thinking of.
What the fuck is this?
I wish I could tell you. But yeah, God, classic English Christmas things. Or like The Great Escape, like...
Yeah. The Sound of Music?
Sound of Music. Imagine five Nyssa and Tegan, five is Maria. Or like Tegan and Nyssa and Maria
the
and Von Trapp. And then...
are alive! I don't think they are, mate.
No, I don't think they are. I'm loving this.
Oh, so I've got the Wikipedia page for Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Yes.
It's a science fiction comedy regularly appearing on the list of the worst films ever made.
Yes, I had heard that.
I think we must watch it.
We must. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Imagining this beautiful, like, whimsical animated episode. And you turn a corner and Sir Nicholas is just face down in the snow. Okay, I think episode 2 we should go the story of St. Nicholas, right? Like the story where he's where he's giving the money to the girls, and then you can have more female characters. Women. So
yeah, that's very much what we would do. Yeah, I like it.
They open
I like it a lot.
The door to the house again, and this time it opens into a I don't want to say old-fashioned, medieval? When the fuck was St. Nicholas? It was like the 3rd century?
Well, it's not quite medieval because it was like Turkish, wasn't he?
Yeah, oh yeah, I know. He was in the 3rd century.
The aesthetic
I was right.
Would be different.
I seem to remember this thing where he like decked someone at a...
Yes, he did.
God, imagine that story. I would love that. Council of Nicaea.
So maybe we see this. Maybe we get through to the next bit and the first thing we see is... actual St. Nicholas punching somebody and then being murdered. So we see the murder on screen.
Oh my God.
Is that too much?
It might be a bit much. A later legend, first attested in the 14th century, over 1,000 years after Nicholas's death, holds that during the Council of Nicaea, Nicholas lost his temper and slapped a certain Arian across the face.
A certain Arian? Tag yourself, I'm probably
Arianism
a certain Arian,
is a heresy within Christianity, which says that Jesus is... was not always like Jesus.
Right?
Jesus was the Son of God, but he was created at that time. It was not that he had always existed and had been embodied. So that's considered a heresy.
Oh God, I adore small theological cults like this.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to listen to Apocrypals, aim.
I've enjoyed what I've listened to it of. I have not listened to the whole thing.
Okay, so I found the legend I'm thinking of, which is about thing where St. Nicholas heard of a man who had been wealthy but lost all his money due to the plotting and envy of Satan, and he couldn't afford dowries.
We've all been there.
He couldn't afford dowries for his daughters, so they would have remained unmarried and poor and, you know, whatever, the worst things in the world. So Nicholas decides to help them, but he didn't want to tell them, so he threw money through the window so that they could arrange the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very thoughtful, and this is why he gives gifts or, you know, whatever. And I feel like we could do that, but we could make it like a weirdly dramatized version of it in the Land of Stories, where it's like a woodcut from the medieval era. Like, everyone's
Ooh.
Wearing, like, the medieval clothes, and, like, it's...
sort of Green Knight-esque.
Yeah. Medieval house. Which the Doctor immediately notes as being anachronistic.
Keep saying things about how it smells fishy. I don't know why, but I can imagine Five doing that.
Yeah. The Life of St. Nicholas by Michael the Archimandrite.
Cool.
This is... I'm really looking forward to making my mum listen to this episode of the podcast, in which I attempt to explain the Arian heresy.
She's an ordained chaplain, isn't she?
She's an ordained priest, yes.
Among other things.
Among many other hats, my mother is an ordained priest.
Did you know that the first time the Church of England allowed women to be ordained was the day I was born?
That is very fun.
The first women were ordained when I came onto the planet.
I think that's...
There's no correlation.
No correlation, but definitely causation. Yeah, so it opens into an evil house, which the Doctor notes as being anachronistic. Tegan befriends the three daughters. Yeah.
Oh, headphone falling out.
Nyssa befriends St. Nicholas. I think it'd be fun if Nyssa made friends with St. Nicholas, and then Five is friends with the dad.
Yes.
So we get to know St. Nicholas in this version, except that he's sort of different from... He's not different. Weirdly, he's just Santa. Like, weirdly in this version, he's just Santa, but, like, wearing, like, a bishop's robes. But his like, countenance is that of Santa because it's the land of stories. And then, obviously, Santa gets killed instead of... Before he can deliver the money. He's planning to deliver the money. Tegan can see he's planning.
So Five has to do it instead.
Oh, my God. Or Nyssa has to do it instead. It's, like, a whole thing.
I like Nyssa doing it.
Yeah. Someone unseen kills Nicholas before he can deliver the sacks of money.
One of our TARDIS crew see the murder happen? It doesn't have to happen on screen, but do they see it happen?
I think we might... I don't know. I feel like it's more mysterious if, like, they come across the immediate aftermath, and then in the third episode they can see it happen, and then in the fourth one they can prevent the murder.
Nice. So they get a bit more going on.
Yeah. Deliver the sacks of money. Nyssa discovers the murder. Poor Nyssa. Sad face.
More trauma for Nyssa.
Poor Nyssa. Give her a kiss, Tegan.
But it's festive. It's festive trauma this time.
Mm. Well, she doesn't have any history with Christmas whatsoever, so...
Still.
Nyssa discovers the murder and decides to deliver the money, thus saving the story from being, like, I don't know, unraveled / changed. Yeah. I don't know how the land of stories works. It's only been in one thing. We can change it.
Maybe, I imagine it's the place where the rules are intentionally inconsistent.
Yeah. So we can have, like, a lot of development with the three daughters. We can name them and, like, talk about, like, what they want to do with their lives, you know, because it's the land of stories. And it feels, obviously, it's going to feel kind of weird and mechanical because they are storybook characters. But I'm also imagining this being a bit like Thursday Next, where...
Oh my God, I love
when
those books.
They're sort of on screen in the stories, they are in character. And when they are, like, off screen in the story, because...
That somebody
St. Nick
else
is doing
entirely.
Something. They're still themselves, but they get to have more independent thought, which I kind of like as a concept.
Yes.
God, I love Thursday Next so much.
Imagine Jasper Ford writing a Doctor Who story.
Oh, fuck me. We've definitely talked about this before, and yet it's still so true.
Cool. So they
do that, but then what's the cliffhanger going to be? So Nyssa manages to deliver the money.
So if story three is going to be Christmas Carol,
yeah,
they go through into the next story and they just see the ghost and it closes and the ghost terrorizes.
Oh my God! What if the doorknob changes to Jacob Marley's face and that's the cliffhanger?
That's it. Yes.
God, we're so fucking good at writing Doctor Who.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Right. Let's title episode two, which is The Life of St. Nicholas by Michael the Archimandrite. So far we've got A Departure by St. Nicholas. I love this so much. This is the best bonus episode idea that we've ever had. I really appreciate you so much.
It's so much fun. What would we call it?
Three Bags Full. Nyssa, have you any gold? Yes, sir. Yes,
re-gifting.
Sir. Three bags full.
bit long.
One for the oldest, one for the middle, and
middlest.
One for the youngest sister who has other aspirations.
She's gonna be a doctor, don't you
She's
know?
She's gonna be a doctor, don't you know? Oh my God.
Episode two. Gifts in the Night.
Ooh,
no.
No, I think Gifts in the Night works. Gifts in the Night. We can always change it.
The gift horse's mouth doesn't quite work at all.
I like that.
It.
I'm fairly certain that the Mythmakers has a pun to do with gift horses and mouths.
Possibly.
I'm Googling it.
I'm going to have another bite of...
Oh, yeah, no, okay. He didn't get to keep all of his puns, but the second one is small profit, quick return. Because episode 4 was going to be called Is There a Doctor in the Horse?
Wow! That's so good.
Donald Cotton, I am in love with you.
That's so... Is there a doctor in the horse?
Is there a doctor in the horse? Oh my god.
God.
Oh my god.
Okay, I'm going to tangent us again. It's a bonus episode. We can do this as much as we want. Yeah. So Joel showed me a parody Big Finish cover with Carvanista on it, and it was titled The War Dog Tour. Like the war doctor? The war doctor?
Yeah, yeah.
And I died a little bit. I thought it was very funny. So whoever did that, fucking amazing. Loved it.
Yeah, it's that is an extremely good pun, and I'm sort of overwhelmed by it.
The war doctor.
The war doctor. God.
I mean, I didn't clock it. I just thought someone was proposing a Carvanista audio series, and I was like, well, I'm in.
I can't believe,
and then Joel said it aloud and I died.
I can't believe Carvanista is separated from his hate love, Dan.
I mean, if anybody should have kissed in flux.
Yeah, so true. So true, and you should say it. No, wherefore
right.
gnasheth thee your teeth against me, wherefore I tell the truth.
Oh, well, they'll be together eventually.
Okay. So the door knocker.
Right, so
and
got...
imagine the impression Nyssa is getting of Christmas out of this. It's going to be so funny. Like it...
That should be the gag at the
yeah,
end of episode
she tries
four.
To give a present and it's like fucking... I don't even know what.
It looks like it's come out of John Carpenter's The Thing 1982.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be extremely good. I can't believe you did the Thing reference. Wow.
I know.
Are
you proud of
me? It's a Christmas present to me and I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Right. So story 3, we've already decided it's going to be a Christmas Carol. Is this going to be the point where they sort of start getting sucked in by the story so they end up being the characters?
Yes.
So which character
yes.
is which?
Ooh, I mean, protagonism makes sense for 5 to be Scrooge.
Yeah. And then, oh my god, we can do like celebrations on Gallifrey and we can have a master cameo.
Yes, 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 yes. And that's also how we make Looms canon.
Yes! Oh my god. We're going to canonify Looms in 1980
They're going to gather around the Christmas loom.
Christmas
I don't know what that means.
Played by Adric. Visits Gallifrey when Theta and Cochet are having winter celebrations of some kind. I don't know. Every culture has like a cold weather thing that they do.
Can we make it very explicit that they're dating?
Yes, of fucking course we can.
This can be pre that breakup.
Yeah.
Pre that messy breakup we know nothing about.
Yeah, Theta and Koshi are having winter celebrations and kissing.
They kiss.
Kissing. Yes, absolutely. Winter celebrations and kissing. The Doctor is visibly upset and requests to leave. Adric is like... Adric points out this is one of the few times the Doctor has actually celebrated anything like Christmas.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't want the message of the story to be that Christmas is the only way to celebrate. It's just, like, celebrating with your family at any time of year is good.
Yeah.
And it's like, celebrated... how about this is the last time they celebrated a holiday together.
Can this is a very small character detail. This is going to be post-Earth shock, I'd imagine.
Yeah, of course.
So can the little star brad still be pinned to Adric's tunic, but can it be broken?
Oh my god, absolutely. Broken star badge! Ah, sad face, crying
I'm
emoji.
Sorry. I couldn't keep that thought to myself.
Yeah. I can't be bothered to search up a crying emoji, so I've just typed the words crying emoji in this document. This document will be made available to the listeners. We're probably going to clean it up a bit, but you know.
No, I think we should put it in its current state. It's beautiful.
So we've got Christmas Past. They visit that. The Christmas Past doesn't only visit that one, so I think we should also, like, go somewhere. And, like, this is our dream episode where they can hire anyone to come back. So where
Who
are we
do
going?
You have in mind?
Where are we going?
Are we still in Christmas Past?
Yeah. We can go UNIT.
Oh, Ian and Barbara.
Ian and Barbara! Oh my god, they visit Ian and Barbara. Oh my god, they visit Ian and Barbara. Oh my god, it's fine.
Back to where it all began.
Oh my god. Oh my god! The Christmas after they got back.
Yes. and they're definitely married.
Yeah, of course. They immediately got married. They've been space married for years. Anyway.
Sparred. No, I hate it.
Visiting Ian and Barbara. They reminisce about their adventures. God, I can't fucking type. I'm so excited thinking about this. They reminisce about their adventures with the Doctor and doing Christmas in space. Because I love the idea of Christmas in space. I love the idea of, like, they tell this anecdote about, like, the Doctor taking them to a Christmas planet, but the Christmas planet is so far removed from their Christmas traditions, it's just, like, insane. It's like the Dr. Copper or whatever his name is in The Voyage of the Damned, who's like, there was this vicious lobster creature named Santa Claus, or, you know, whatever. Like, they've got, like, a Christmas macro.
A Christmas macro sounds like everything I've ever needed.
Yeah, I kind of need it extremely badly now I've said it.
Yeah, why would you let those words come out of your mouth, cursing us for the rest of our feeble existences?
Yeah. So yeah, the Doctor is like, oh man, I don't know why we're doing this, but I'm having a great time. Maybe the Doctor has been a bit resistant to celebrating just generally. Like,
yeah, it's just been a bit off.
Yeah, like,
but having one of his moments, yeah. He's being a sassy little bitch.
So when Tegan gives him the present, Five is thankful but seems
dismissive.
Secretly very sad, as is his wont.
Doctor Who is about trauma, actually.
Doctor Who is about trauma, actually. Time-travelling chameleon. Sorry, I just came across time-travelling chameleon again. I love us. It turns out that every single one of these Santas is chameleon.
Nope, sorry. Vetoing.
Yeah, okay, so they visit Ian and Barbara, like, either in present day or, like, or not present day, but, like, recent past. The Doctor's like, you know, I really should go and visit them. And Adric is like, yeah, but you're not going to, are you, you piece of shit?
And then dissolves,
yeah.
You just left them alone. You leave everyone alone, don't you?
And oh my dissolves. God, fucking hell, Aim.
Why not go for the jugular?
You type it's it, Christmas. I can't type that, I'll cry. Just, oh my God. Like, yeah, you do have to go for the jugular at Christmas, it's true. I feel extremely sad. I feel extremely sad, so thank you. You've successfully sad-dricked me. and then we got Ghost to Christmas Present.
Yep. I think that should be, like, Nyssa and Tegan together.
Yes.
As a sort of, like, duo. They're wearing very, very pretty Christmas dresses.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously, like, to be fair, the whole thing with the Ghost of Christmas Present is they're, like, very into Christmas. So which companion is the most into Christmas?
Polly.
Oh my God, imagine if it's Ben and Polly.
And they're having a swinging 60s Christmas.
Oh my God. It's like the Ghost of Christmas Present is a very subjective present, right? It's like the ghost of places in time you have recently visited.
Yep.
Like, you know, the fiction starts to sort of slide when it's like, hey, we don't know when it is. We don't know when we are right now. we do have to fit all of this into one episode.
Yeah, so there'll be short scenes.
Yeah, so
skits, if you will.
Unless the Ghost of Christmas Present is just Santa again. This is where Santa comes in.
Yes, so we actually talk to the Santa this time, and then we see him die at the end of the story.
Yeah, because the Ghost of Christmas Present dies. So you have more of a connection. Ghost of Christmas Present dies in the book anyway, so it's like, you know, it connects. So
it ties in.
Yeah, so the Ghost of Christmas Present is Santa, and then he takes us to visit, like, Leela. I don't fucking know.
What, Leela and Gallifrey?
I don't know. Maybe. Leela, who's having fun with Romana. He's like, damn it, I could be having
yes,
fun.
Yes, give us
like
our
this.
Lesbians.
Leela,
give us our lesbians.
What the fuck is the name of Leela's boring ass husband, whose name I don't remember?
Oh God, I should know this. I'm reading Long Barrow. It's something like the Gallifreyan equivalent of Steve.
Yeah,
Andred is
Andred.
The name.
Fucking hell. Oh my God, it's like that. Like, I don't think we should do this because it would be extremely silly. But I think we should visit the lesbians from the Stones of Blood. I know one of them turned out to be evil. I don't care.
I think that's I like it, but I don't think we can fit it
discussion
in.
Discussion with Santa about the Doctor's general loneliness.
Yep. Missing out on all the people he loves.
Yeah, his family's... Oh my God, imagine if he visited Susan.
Well, if Leela and Romana are on Gallifrey, then in theory, Susan could be there too.
Well, Susan's on Earth.
But, well, yes, but...
In theory,
so much
she
time
could
has
be
passed.
There too, yeah. God, imagine. Fuck. To be fair, she doesn't have a TARDIS on Earth. Sorry, I'm just thinking about Susan now.
Susan!
Did you see...
Doctor Who is a...
Did you listen to Jodie Whittaker do that speech?
I saw the video. I couldn't listen to it. I need to because it will make me cry. It'll make me cry.
Oh my god. I mean, same. It'll definitely make me cry. But yeah, so discussion with Santa about the Doctor's general loneliness. And then kind of like this like, you know, positive talk about how he has friends and he is allowed to let them in to have fun at a time that even though it's been sad in the past, he can make it happier now. But if he doesn't, look what will happen. And then we go to the you know.
Can we get a future companion in to do Ghost of
Christmas?
I think
that would
be
extremely good.
And can it be Ace?
The thing with the Ghost of Christmas Future is it's supposed to be very ominous, isn't it? So would it be funny if it was like the Valeyard?
Oh, I like it.
Santa disappears. Does he die? Yeah. Not yet. He'll die at the end. Santa disappears and the Doctor is once again alone. Goes to Christmas Future, brackets. We can do question marks and then we'll find out it's the monk later, I guess.
Okay.
Thoughts? Well, it doesn't have to be the monk later, but you get my point.
I don't know.
Like, they wear the big robe. They wear the big robe that covers the face. And then it can be a fun surprise, or it can be the Doctor himself, and we can do some double act. I guess Ghost of Christmas Future is just like all of his companions are fucking dead, and he's like, man, this sucks.
Yeah, he's walking through like this hyper-stylized animated graveyard.
Oh my god, I forgot about
Mary
the animation.
Poppins style, so the graveyard. The graveyard's animated, but he's live action. It's all Mary Poppins. This one.
I really forgot about the animation thing, but Mary, like, I don't know, like
that, or we go full Muppets.
Full Muppets is a very amusing.
Does
concept.
Sound attractive.
And also it means that we could have like Muppet Ian and Barbara, so it wouldn't matter as much that the actors have aged because it can just be Jacqueline Hill and William Russell voicing it. We've got Muppets.
I like this.
A Christmas Carol.
I like this a lot.
All Muppets but five.
Muppet Adric.
Muppet Adric. Oh my god, Muppet Adric. So story two, The Life of St. Nicholas, is that the like Rankin and Bass one?
What do you mean?
That's the Community season two.
Yes, it's yes.
/ Ted Lasso opening for the Christmas special. That one.
Ugh, the way that touched my heart.
It was very good. Yeah, all Muppets but five. Rankin and Bass.
Oops, all Muppets.
Goes to Christmas Future? ? They go to
graveyard.
I think the Doctor is genre savvy enough to know what the Ghost of Christmas Future is trying to lead him towards. So he's like, you know, I understand that this is my own death. I don't fear my own death. Lol, definitely.
But then the ghost is like, but which one?
Yeah, or it turns out he thinks he's going to be led to his own grave, and it's like, you know, the master's grave, or like the other's grave, or some shit about looms. I don't know. Who is the most emotionally impactful death? Is it the Brigadier? Discuss.
That was exactly what I thought.
Oh my god.
So
you assume
the fact that hearing the Brig's voice in Flux made me cry.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Right.
He also assumes this and makes a few sarcastic comments, as five is wont to do. Five.
What if it's one grave, but every time they look back, like, so you know when you're in a dream, all the ways you tell you're in a dream, if you look at text and it changes each time, every time it cuts away and cuts back, it's a different name on the gravestone. And some of the names he doesn't recognise yet.
Oh, yes! Oh my god, back and forth between him and the ghost. Who is the ghost? Well, first, the ghost has to murder Santa. Who, as it turns out, was not dead. Just
hiding.
Just off doing another haunting. has returned. The ghost of...
I love this.
This is so good. The Ghost of Christmas Future, like, fucking dissolves him or something. Or something.
Yes.
In an incredible 80s effect. It's a ray gun.
Yes. And that can be a cliffhanger.
Atomic cannon. It's an atomic cannon like the Time Meddler. That's the cliffhanger. And then in episode four, we find out that it was the monk all along. I love the meddling monk. I just love him.
But how do we find this out?
Well, first we have to come up with a title for this episode.
Are we pastiching another Christmas story?
For episode four? I mean, we can do. This could be where it all breaks apart. It's like Christmas.
And it gets trippy as hell.
Trippy as fuck, yeah. So we get like, you know, it's got to be to do with Santa. So we get like, you know, Rudolph, fucking Santa baby.
Michael Bublé's there. No one understands why.
Santa Claus is coming to town, but he isn't because he's dead. Sorry, Santa can't come to the phone right now. We need to ignore the fact that the serial would definitely traumatise some children, because like that's just how Doctor Who works.
Ugh, that's just how it works. That's fine.
Yeah, it's all good.
Can we have the monk say the word Santa isn't real? Or somebody say the word Santa isn't real?
Oh my god.
Is that too far?
The monk says Santa is the biggest fiction there is.
And then laughs maniacally.
Because we're in the land of fiction. Like, you know, like Tegan is like, but we're in the land of fiction. How can you replace someone like Santa? Great. And then the monk says, Santa is the biggest fiction there is. Because as we know, the monk's dream is to replace Santa.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously. That's always been part of his mythology. Okay, it's the 80s. I just want to quickly spot check. Who are we casting to play the monk in the 80s? It's going to be a guest spot. It's Jonathan Turner. So he wants to cast like a name in the 80s.
Patrick Stewart.
Every time. I mean, in it, like as a pie in the sky.
Am
maybe.
I wrong?
80s. Am I I'm going to Google 80s comedians UK and see what comes up.
Oh no, how many of them have had some controversies?
Oh my god, imagine if it was Dawn French. She was only like
that would be perfect.
She was only like 30 at the time, so sadly I don't know how well it would work, but Bill Bailey.
That's actually Bill Bailey was in a 6th episode, wasn't he? Am I making that up?
I don't think he was in a 6th episode. I think he was in Doctor Who. He was in the Time Lord, the Witch and the Wardrobe or whatever, right?
Yes, yeah, you're right. Who am I thinking? There's some comedian in Trial of a Time Lord who I didn't expect to be
there. I don't know about Trial of a Time Lord. I know Ken Dodd is in fucking...
Oh boy, yeah.
God. I'm looking at all of these people who are like 80s comedians and stuff. Bill Oddie would be excellent. Tim Brooke Taylor. Ooh. Graham Garden.
What's his face?
What, Graham Garden?
The Irish guy who's now dead who used to do BBC Radio 2.
Terry Wogan?
Terry Wogan.
I think we should do Graham Garden.
I don't know who that is.
I'm going to send you a picture of Graham Garden in the 70s.
Go on.
He was in the Goodies. It's going to go in heartwarming images because I watched some Goodies earlier and I had a great time. I was watching Kit and Kong.
Ah, looks like it's right out of Look Around
exactly.
You.
He's got
perfect.
That vibe.
Yeah, I got the sideburns for it.
Yeah, so we're casting... I'm personally casting Graham Garden as the monk because I think that would be very fun.
I am happy with that. I don't have the energy to argue. I don't think I would win if I tried.
Yeah. So Atomic Cannon, like the Time Meddler. Santa evaporates. and then we're on to episode 4. There's like a weird, like time starts to break down or whatever. Like the land starts to dissolve because it's specifically Santa area. It's the Santa bit of the land of fiction. So by systematically, maybe that can be a thread through the episodes, is that as each one gets destroyed,
they start falling apart.
Yeah,
more and more.
So it's like the disintegration reaches a breaking point and everyone is split into different places and narratives which get shorter, E.G. songs, and then we get some Christmas songs.
Yeah, and there's just a sing-along.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. like Nyssa is there like, I don't know this song.
Nyssa is there just being like, a reindeer with a red nose, it glows.
It glows like a light bulb.
Why are they being so mean to him?
God, it's such a question, isn't it? But yeah, so we're not losing steam, but I'm really excited about this fucking story. So I'm losing like my articulation about it.
So they figure out it's the monk doing it. Somehow.
Maybe the songs end and they arrive in like a blank space.
Like an empty holodeck.
A blank void in which stands the ghost of Christmas Future, who pushes back his hood to reveal Graham Garden as the monk. The Doctor recognises him because we are going along with the Time Lord recognised Time Lord thing.
Yep.
Time Lord.
Unless they use an anagram of their name, in which case...
Unless it's his husband, because he's deliberately blocking him out. He's like, nope. Sometimes I can still hear his voice. Stop telling people I'm dead! I have defied death more times than you can imagine, Doctor!
I mean, all the Master needs to do is put on some blue jeans and put a toothpick in his mouth.
Yeah, the Doctor recognises him because Time Lord recognised Time Lord and is like, oh, for fuck's sake, it's you
and
again.
That's the one use of fuck in classic
Yeah, hate. No, exactly. Fuck's sake, it's you again. like, that's like the vibe that Five has a lot of the time. Like, oh, fuck's sake, it's you again.
Fuck.
Fucking Murker. Fucking guy.
Fucking
fucking guy.
Fucking Murker.
I think that is how Nando would feel about the Murker as well.
Can you imagine Nando and Guillermo as companions on the TARDIS?
Oh, don't. It would be so fucking good. The monk explains his evil plan to replace Santa and become widely... like, harness the power of belief or something? Like, very Hogfather stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, ooh, beautiful,
harness the power of belief to... Maybe he got stuck in the land of fiction.
Or maybe he wants to take over other corporeal places with the... Maybe he wants to colonise with the land of fiction.
Ooh, take over other lands with the land of fiction. This is where we find out there's like a land of poetry and a land of non-fiction and a land of non-chronological reports and a land of
a land
script,
of monographs.
A land of play scripts, a land of... A land of
fanfic.
Peer-reviewed essays.
A land definitely of BBC news reports.
Definitely some colonization bad would be like a good Doctor Who theme for this.
Right.
So the monk...
Christmas good, colonization bad. Discuss.
It turns out that he's been saving one last Santa to kill or whatever. And Tegan and Nyssa managed to save him? Question mark. Like, they find, maybe they get carted off by like the monk's minions so that he can gloat to the Doctor, and they meet this other Santa in like the B plot of the episode, and then they manage to escape because Nyssa can like pick the lock or something. Girl boss.
Yes.
And also, obviously, all the while in the background, Tegan and Nyssa have been flirting, because that's just taken as red at this point.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so.
Is there a Christmassy way for us to win?
A Christmassy way for us to win is in Nyssa and Tegan kiss, or is in the five saves Santa? Five saves Christmas.
Five, I was thinking five saves the day, but if we want to include the kissing, we can include the kissing.
Yeah, Nyssa and Tegan befriend the last remaining Santa in the land of fiction, who is the OG St. Nicholas. Before.
I thought we'd already killed the
OG
Santa.
Well, no, because he was Santa. He was still Santa. Like, that was like the popular fiction conception of the story. Whereas there's still
so
like
the mythologized version.
There's still the very original,
the actual...
because he's the strongest. So the monk was unable to overpower him until he had taken out all of the subsidiary Santas.
Gotcha.
It's the OG St. Nicholas. Who, do you know what would be really funny is if St. Nicholas performed a miracle to escape?
A Christmas miracle.
Let's see, what miracles did he perform? Allegedly, there's a thing where he brought some babies back to life.
Nope.
Which was tremendously popular throughout the late Middle Ages and the early modern period and widely beloved by ordinary folk. Although this story seems bizarre and horrifying to modern audiences.
I mean, I'm comfortable with Santa murder, but I draw the line at including baby
death.
Yeah,
no, that's totally valid. Let's see. God. I mean, there's a lot of sort of classic saintly miracles where it's like, you know, saving Daniel from the lion's den, saving those guys from being baked alive, causing the blind to see and the lame to walk and the dead to rise and all those things. But I think you could just sort of have him pray to, well, we're not going to confirm that God exists. Like, he's going to pray to something and then something's going to happen and then the Doctor is...
We don't have that
the
power.
The Doctor is going to secretly put the sonic screwdriver away, and it's going to turn out it was the sonic screwdriver that did it.
I like it.
And then everyone's going to go, like, oh, they're always using the sonic screwdriver these days?
But by then, we'll have Tegan and Nyssa kissing, so we won't care.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, I like that as an easy out. And that's how we get Tegan and Nyssa out of whatever chains they've been put in. Quite like the idea of make it about belief as well.
Yeah, it's all about belief. And then they return to the
quite like to have a little showdown between Nicholas and the monk.
Oh, that would be really good.
Where Nicholas is just like, you want everyone else to believe in you. but you should believe in yourself or something.
Oh, he's talking like, about faith.
My secret is I believe in myself.
He's talking about faith where he's like, you know, people believe in Santa because of what he does, not because he just exists.
Yeah.
Like Nicholas points out how much work it is to be Santa. The monk says, oh yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Bye.
And Nicholas joins them on the TARDIS for a Christmas dinner.
Yes, oh my god. They return the TARDIS and do presents. Nyssa and Tegan kiss under the mistletoe.
And it's good.
Fivey gets a paper hat. It's all good. And a Merry Christmas to all of you at home.
Right into the character, William Hartnell style.
Yep, the end. God, we're so fucking good at writing Doctor Who.
I think we've made the best Christmas special that exists.
I'm really pleased with this, actually. I'm actually very pleased with this.
Can we have a little bit in that last scene in the TARDIS where the Doctor is sort of being like, I'm going to appreciate the moment more and love the happy times I get to have with people.
Yeah, so...
So to have that little, like, payoff from episode 3.
Five resolves to appreciate the present more and stop worrying so much about the inevitability of death.
Of death.
That's the Christmas message.
He says it in that way.
That's the Christmas message. And a Merry Christmas Perfect. To all of you at home. And it's all very sweet.
We did it.
Yeah. And this year there's no Christmas special for Doctor Who. There is a New Year's special with Aisling B. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm excited for Eve of the Daleks. But what a shame that we have once again forgotten Adam of the Daleks.
Yeah, that's so true. It is, Adam and Eve of the Daleks, not Adam and Steve of the Daleks. We need to title our episode because I don't think the Massacre of St. Nicholas's Eve would have flown in 1987.
It's a very funny title.
Yeah, and we need to check our individual episode titles because we've only got 1 and 2. So...
Okay, overall story... I don't know, it's not the Christmas story.
No, bells might be fun.
Why?
Well, why? Because it's Christmas.
Okay.
Like, also, because cool. It's...
I was wondering if I'd missed a more
like,
substantial
like a jingle
link.
Bells kind of thing, you know, but like, you know, the bells of St. Nicholas.
We can't call it Jingle Bells Spock because it's not Star Trek.
Unfortunately, no. That is going to be our Star Trek Christmas special next year.
Next, in 7 years'
yeah, yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want it to be too blatantly Christmassy because I don't think Doctor Who would do that. Even the one that's actually a Christmas episode is called The Feast of St. Stephen, which is like the 27th of December. Mm. So like you could do if we think the original one with the land of stories is called, or the land of fiction is called The Mind Robber.
The gift grabber.
We could do something to do with gifts. Or presents.
Presents of the Doctor.
Just called The Christmas Present, and it turns out it's actually about being present on Christmas. You know, taking part in the moment.
God, so bougie.
Like, this just takes the place of Time Flight or Four to Doomsday or whatever.
Maybe just, like, Fable.
That would be pretty good. Feels more Seventh Doctor-y, though.
Yeah.
You could call it, like, the something. I feel like Fifth Doctor was very much the noun. Like, the Awakening. The Visitation. Black Orchid doesn't have a the, but you get what I mean. Enlightenment. Terminus. I think Fable is good. Or, like,
Mythos.
Mythos, that's a good one. Yeah. It feels like, you know, like that's really serious, and then you watch it and it's about Santa's getting and killed.
Like, perfect Doctor Who.
Yes. Mythos.
I like that, actually. I think I had a good idea.
You did, I love it. Right, so we've got episode 1, A Departure by St. Nicholas. Episode 2, Gifts in the Night. Episode 3, which is A Christmas Carol. Episode 3,
Live, Laugh, Love.
Christmas past. This is because I got a cracker joke today, which is how did Scrooge win the football game? Why did Scrooge win the football game?
The ghost of Christmas past.
Yep.
God.
Past Christmas. No, it doesn't work.
I gave you my part.
When did that song come out? Because that could work. Last Christmas, not the 2019 romantic comedy film.
1984.
Oh no, it might be a bit late.
Little bit.
Tiny bit late. What Christmas songs were out at the time?
What was Christmas number one?
If we assume this is 1982. Every official Christmas number one ever.
Save Your Love by Renee and Renata.
I do not know that song.
Nope.
1981 was Don't You Want Me by the Human League. 1980 was There's
Don't You Want Me Baby is good.
1980 was There's No One Quite Like Grandma.
I think I've heard this in one of those like Winifred Radio 4 roundups.
1971 was Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West, which is incredible. Bohemian Rhapsody, 1971. Like, honestly, most of the time it's not a Christmas song, so...
No.
19... Let's do 70s Christmas songs, because then it can be like a retro nostalgia thing. I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard, we should note, is there. Step Into Christmas... A Spaceman. Oh my god, what Let's if we called together, what if it was we... just a spaceman came caroling or something?
Oh, I love that.
Thank you. I'm good sometimes.
I love you're good all Thanks, the time.
Babe. The Spaceman came caroling. Episode 4. It's your turn now to come up with one.
Hmm. It's a Wonderful Life.
I mean, we could.
It's not very good.
Maybe that one. Maybe this one could be The Massacre of St. Nicholas Eve.
There we go. And we get to use it. And it's funny. And it fits. Do it.
Hell yeah. Oh, right. And it's a good reference for people who've been watching Doctor Who for 20 years. All right. Fuck. We planned a whole thing. Some episodes
and we had fun while doing it.
We did have fun while doing it. And we have so many other ideas.
For next
Big
year.
Big Finish, call us.
Please, we'll have fun.
Please. Our email is
We'll make you cry. Call us on Gmail.
Call us on Gmail. Just, you know, contact us any way you can.
I'll take a carrier pigeon.
Yes, and genuinely to everyone who's listening, thank you so much for listening to our little podcast. It is December the 10th, and so thank you very, very much to all of our lovely listeners. We love you so much. Mm-hmm. Every time
thank you so
we
much.
Get any indication from anyone that you listen to us, we just feel so much joy. We message each other like, oh my god, someone listens to the podcast! It's just so nice to know that we bring people a little bit of Doctor Who joy every 2 weeks, and in this case, every other week, because this is our special December the 23rd episode.
Yeah.
Assuming that Rosie edits it in time.
It's been a heck of a year, but this has been probably one of the best things I've done in 2021.
Hell yeah.
Is get this show on the road, and I love talking to you every week, every other week about Doctor Who.
This is kind of our 1 year anniversary episode of recording, rather than our 1 year anniversary of releasing. First ever episode record, I believe, was on Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
We
were very excited.
We were very excited. We had watched The Keeper of Traken, and now we have created a Christmas story with Nyssa in it. So it's kind of like full circle.
Is this Aha! full circle? Which we've also talked
yes,
about.
Yes, our most recent episode when this comes out. It's all coming together. But yeah, just, you know, beautiful. Thank you very much. Yes. And Merry Christmas.
Have a lovely festive period. Yes. Whatever you're doing this
year.
Have
a good winter. We love you.
Stay safe out there. We love you very much. And when in doubt,
follow us on Twitter.
Do what the doctor would do.
When in doubt, follow us on Twitter. I'm serious. But yeah, when in doubt, what would the doctor do?
Cool. I think that's an episode.
Yeah, would you like to do the basic outro?
No, we've had our feelings. Thanks, as we've just said, for listening to another Reversing Polarity. We're here usually every other week chatting classic Doctor Who, and we hope you'll join us again. Keep up to date on Twitter at PolarityPod or Tumblr at polaritypod.tumblr.com. Do leave us a review on iTunes or a rating, especially if you loved us. Just tell people how great we are. And what else do we say? Oh, you can follow us on our personal Twitters. I'm at AymTellStories, that's AymTellStories, and Rosie is at DotSayers.
Yeah. And a happy Christmas to all of you at home.
All of you listening at home.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Happy Christmas!
Happy Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!